Blog Talk Radio.
3, 2, 1. There will be a television festival this year that will not, repeat, not be virtual. Norfolk TV Festival 5 is set to run drive-in style from Long Island October 17th. Artistic director Elias Pagianos and TV pilot producer Kathleen Burke join me next. The spirit of Canadian, or I should say the spurt of Canadian originating TV series landing on U.S. channels continues. HBO Max will take in Detention Adventure, an unusual history tale, later this month. And later this hour, we'll have co-creator and director Joe Kickat and executive producer Lauren Culver. They'll take us on. And the battling cleanup today, Bespoke TV, lifestyle focused and playing on TV-connected devices. Doing the Beast speaking here, Chief Executive Officer Michael Gutcher. So join us live from Los Angeles. Also ahead, another comics maker takes the TV plunge, a South by Southwest diversity play, and our classic trivia question, if we have time, round two of Reboot This. Hey everyone, I'm Simon Applebaum, simulcasting live from New York on Blog Talk Radio, Spreaker, and TuneIn Radio, and presented on Amazon Music and the iHeartRadio Podcast Network. This just in, tomorrow will be televised. Brought to you by Audible.com, the leading provider of spoken audio entertainment information that will transform the way you hear the world. Listen to audiobooks whenever and wherever you want. Get a free book when you sign up for a 30-day trial at audibletrial.com/televised. If you're an Amazon Prime customer, make that 2 audiobooks you get with the trial. All the details coming up later on. Glad to have you with us on this Monday afternoon for the program All About Television. 68 degrees at the top of the hour here in New York. Very nice day in the metro area. And we invite you to be part of the program. 90 minutes to go, great guests all the way, and we want you in the conversation. So it's so simple to do so. Pick up the phone, raise your voice, and use this number, 646-652-2906. That's 646-652-2906. The number is good anyway. You'll catch us across the country or around the globe here on Blog Talk Radio, Speaker, and TuneIn Radio. Not interested in the phone? No problem. Use our chat room. It's available for you right now. SimonApple04, my name is The Room, and you will find it at our homepage, blogtalkradio.com/televised. And while the program is on the air, you connect us by using Facebook Timeline. Click on the Facebook icon, your Blog Talk Speaker, TuneIn screen. Follow the instructions. Other people can be live with you. Our duo from Northport Cutie Festival join me here in New York after these news notes. Most comic book and graphic novel publishers are now in action to adapt their creations for scripted TV. Latest on board, Aftershock Comics, whose titles run the gamut from Dark Red to Baby Teeth. Aftershock announced plans this morning to form Aftershock Media through a merger with Dog Whisperer and Homicide Hunter distributor Reeve Gaucher. The first Aftershock comic series to be ready for TV on this collaboration will be Undone by Blood. Other titles will be geared for films, podcasts, and video games. Diversity Week 2020 is underway, virtually. Women in Cable's annual presentation is today's big event, with the name of the conference going forward the rest of the week. Separately, a new South by Southwest-style venture out to expand African-American output in TV and other entertainment venues is coming together. Known as the TBL, or Table, TV and Film Conference, the event will premiere next July in Los Angeles, then happen in Atlanta a year later. Both events will run for 4 days. Now, quickies, former E! Talk show host Busy Phillips will co-star in Gill's 5 Eva, that's Tina Fey's comedy series for Peacock. PBS will offer a great performance to salute to Lifetime Achievement awardees at the Grammy Awards October 16th. Jimmy Jam will host. Countrymen's Association Awards 54 will be live on NBC November 11th. Reba McEntire and Darius Rucker co-host from Nashville. Empire co-star Taraji P. Henson will take on co-hosting duties on new Facebook Watch talk series Peace of Mind, dealing with mental health subjects. And new seasons of Christy Knows Best and Ms. and Mrs. begin next month on the USA Network. And that is news notes for today. Over the years, we have covered a variety of television festivals for all around the country, and one of the ones we have covered extensively is Norfolk TV Festival, right here in the New York metropolitan area, Long Island to be exact. Well, coming up later this month, Norfolk marks year number 5, and they're doing it, unlike other TV festivals this year, live and in person in a very unusual way. And here to talk about that way are two people involved with the festival. First, it's Artistic Director Elias Pagianos. Elias, welcome to the program.
Hi, Simon. Thanks for having us.
It is a pleasure. And joining both of us is a producer of one of the pilots that we showcased, a very special pilot that you'll hear about shortly, and her name is Kathleen Burke. Kathleen, welcome in.
Hi, thank you so much.
And it's a pleasure. And Elias, we'll start with you. Was there any doubt that Norfolk 5, given the pandemic, would happen?
Oh, well, sure. I mean, it's been quite a interesting few months. You know, we've always tried our hardest to have a live event. But I mean, we have, like, you know, spoken about virtual screenings, and it is a very responsible thing, because you don't want to have these large gatherings. But at the end of the day, what we decided was the community of the North Fork has just been so supportive and so amazing to us. We just wanted to really do something to say thank you. So we decided to come up with this kind of innovative idea, which is to have a drive-in where people could come, you know, stay in their cars and watch TV shows, which I know is an unusual thing to watch TV shows on a big screen, but we are hopeful that it's going to work out.
Where is it going to be held in Long Island? How'd you find the place?
Well, so it's being held at this really magical winery vineyard called the Borghese Vineyards, and they have this really gigantic open field, and the owner, Gio, who has been an incredible supporter of the festival for years and years, suggested we have it there, and we're bringing a stage, and we're bringing a big screen, and we're going to hold about 150 cars, so that's like 150 times four. I'm not a math wizard, but I think that's about 600 people might be able to see this show. And the other exciting thing is, you know, they'll be able to see celebrities there as well. Jeremy Sisto will be there to accept his award for – it's called the Canopy Award for his achievements on the small screen. So it should be a wonderful night that will happen October the 17th.
And we'll talk more about the special awards and so forth. And Kathleen, why we're talking to you is because you are the producer of one of the featured pilots at this event, and it's a feature that is quite special because it's put together with the Alfred P. Sloan Foundation, which I know the last couple of years has been trying to get TV series on the air dealing in the realm of science and technology.
Yes, I mean, they have a very express mission for that exact purpose.
So talk about your pilot. It's called Super User Do. How did you come up with it?
So alongside Elias, and she can speak to this as well, the North Fork TV Festival, with support from the Sloan Foundation, selects a script in the realm of science and technology that – and then they utilize filmmakers like myself to produce a script that has won the competition at North Fork. So in the case of Super User Do, it's a pilot, a coming-of-age story, drama. And it's a very timely story as it discusses life as a group of young computer science students are returning to college in the midst of COVID-19 and Black Lives Matter in New York City.
Mm-hmm. And who created the pilot? What writer or series creator did you work with?
I beg your pardon, one more time.
Talk about the writer, the series creator that you worked with on this
project. Yes, Zeph Edries. He's the winner of the competition. It was wonderful to see his script be selected and then adapted into the world of COVID for production, because we live in the times that we do, but we didn't want to give up on the opportunity to bring someone a script to life. So with the help of the Sloan Foundation and the competition through the North Fork TV Festival and the support of Zeph, we were able to create a beautiful piece. And we're very happy with how it turned out. We're very excited to share it at North Fork.
Yes, Simon, it's actually an interesting thing. So this show, it was actually written before the COVID pandemic. So we were faced with the challenge of how do we rewrite this to, like, you know, really address, like, you know, kids going back to school. So when we did that, we're really refocusing the storyline on you know, what's happening now. All the kids are wearing masks. So it was a really interesting production.
We are speaking with two of the people behind the North Park TV Festival. It's edition number 5. It is in person. It is drive-in for the first time. It happens on Long Island on Saturday, October 17th. And we are speaking with the artistic director of the festival, Elias Plagiano. How do you say your name, by the way? Make sure I have it pronounced correctly, Elias.
It's Plagianos.
Plagianos.
Yeah, Elias Plagianos, yeah.
Great. We got it. And we're also speaking with the producer of Super User Do, the Alfred P. Sloan Science Technology Pilot winner, as Kathleen Burke. They're both with us live here in New York. This half hour on Tomorrow will be televised. Simon Applebaum with you live from New York. Delighted to have you aboard on this Monday afternoon, kicking off Diversity Week, Advertising Week, a whole bunch of other events going on here in New York and all over the place this week in the world of TV. And if you have a question or comment for our duo, give us a call, 646-652-2906, or use our chat room, SimonApple04 by name. Coming up on Friday's episode, we've got the co-star of the popular BET series from Lena Waithe's 20s. Her name is Ashley Haynes. We'll talk to her about her role going into season 2 and about a very unusual hobby she has on the side, candles, in a very unusual way. Plus, we'll do a second segment on Norfolk dealing with the TV pilot winners. So tune in for that second Norfolk segment and Ashley Haynes from 20s on BET going into a second season in 2021. That's coming up Friday, 3:30 Eastern, noon Pacific, right here on Tomorrow Televised. And 1 week from today, our lead guest will be from the ABC revival of Supermarket Sweep coming up a week from Sunday. We'll have executive producers Alicia Rossiter and Wes Koble. Alicia Rossiter and Wes Koble from ABC's new version of Supermarket Sweep starring Leslie Jones premieres a week from Sunday, October 18th, and they'll be with us a week from Monday right here exclusively on Tomorrow Will Be Televised. Elias, what's been the most successful aspect of the festival in its 5 years?
Well, I think, you know, it's really given the opportunity for a lot of, you know, unique, diverse creators who never would have had the chance to, you know, screen their shows and to get the kind of industry look that they would have never had there not been the Norfolk TV Festival. It's just so rewarding to really champion these young voices and give them some kind of a platform because, as you know, more than anyone else, I'm sure, TV is a really hard thing to break into. It's not like independent film where you could just, you know, make a movie and then try and get it into theaters. And there's not a tremendous amount of an independent TV festival circuit. So the creators, Noah Doyle and Jonathan Shafter, they really wanted to make this for the independent TV creators. And this revolution really only happened because of, you know, services like, you know, streaming services like Netflix or Prime, where you didn't have to have the okay of a network to go and create things. So I guess, you know, the most rewarding thing is to see these young creators being given an opportunity to, you know, create shows that then go on to get them jobs and in the normal TV world.
What's been the biggest or among the biggest success stories of the festival going to year 5?
So I think, you know, the one that people always point to is this really great show that screened at the North Fork TV Festival about 2 years ago. It's called Up North. And the creator, Emil Pinnock, he was able to get a TV deal with Byron Allen's network. And that's, you know, currently in pre-production. Thing about TV unlike film is, like, you shoot a pilot, and it's not like there's any place where you could just instantly get that on. So you shoot a pilot. It gets a lot of, you know, traction in this kind of TV festival world, and then it goes through a very long and arduous development process. And that process, you know, at times perhaps might water down the creator's original vision and things like that, and then it kind of might make the shows not happen. So the truth is that what we're really trying to do is go out there each and every year and find that one voice, that one project that is just so incredibly good that it could break through the whole development process and just get greenlit as a series. And each year we get a little bit closer. I think these shows this year have an amazing chance. There's Freeze, which is a wonderful show about a woman who's kind of dealing with getting a little bit older and fertility. And then we have a show called Slayed by Divya, which is about a young, diverse business owner who's kind of like, you know, dealing with all that in a very unique way. And these shows have unique voices, have a diverse cast, but are also fairly mainstream where they could be breakout hits. So that's what we look for each and every year.
How many pilots were in contention to be screened this year?
I mean, this year we had hundreds and hundreds of submissions, and we wish we could have showed more. There was just an incredible amount of young talent who is being brought into the independent TV world. Unfortunately, though, because of the COVID situation and because we were trying to avoid the virtual festival, we were only able to choose two shows. And the third show was one that the North Fork TV Fest produced itself. So it was a very slim margin of those. So we really got the best of the best. And we're just so excited to share it with the North Fork community.
By the way, to let you know about Up North, it has been shown both at your festival. It's also been shown at Series Fest. The deal is with Entertainment Studios by Renowned Company. We understand that as soon as they get the word to produce it here in New York, they will. It was going to be produced in New York this year, and unfortunately the pandemic waylaid the schedule. But we understand that very, very shortly it will get produced. We don't know where Byron will, what network Byron will use the series for, but I've heard the pilot is dynamite, and I know that Series Fest, we did a special screening of the show, and panel session afterward was very, the people there were very excited about how that pilot's going and what it's going to be. It has a very interesting take on the prison system and on prisoners trying to make it back on the other side. Very, very interesting show. We're going to stay in touch on Up North, and as soon as we get the word that it's going to be on somewhere on Entertainment Studios, we will hopefully try to get the creators and maybe Byron. And I'd love to get Byron on the show. We've been trying, and we will still continue to do that because he's got a lot of projects in the works. Kathleen, when did you film or tape your pilot, and what was it like in the production process?
So production for Supervisor Glue was it was a long process. Obviously, doing anything during COVID has its challenges, but Elias taking helm here for this project along with our other producers, it was it started all with, you know, looking at the script and making it so that it could be shot in this time because we didn't want to pass up an opportunity to see this realized. So, you know, shooting a film during COVID had its own challenges. And also we had to work it into the story if we were going to talk about students in a collegiate time, which kind of makes this a very specific and timely story. It's sort of a snapshot of our real world now, considering that we had to take into account both the use of masks on film in the frame and also, you know, the real social climate in New York City. So that was definitely something that we had to take into consideration in pre-production, and it actually enabled the story, I think, to tell a truer, very rich story about what life is like currently in New York City for the young academics. And Elias did a wonderful job helming this project and bringing it to fruition. I was very grateful to be a part of it. And now that it's shot and it's, you know, edited, and we're very excited to see it at North Fork.
Well, is this an ensemble work, or do you have a major star in the lead role or a co-starring role?
So this is an ensemble, and, you know, Kathleen and I worked on one of the first TV shows that was shot during COVID. It was called Hudson Falls, and we had, like, a really incredible dynamite cast, including Richard Kind and Jessica Hecht, Robert Burke, William Sadler, Tara Westwood, and it was one of the first ones that was ever shot, and we had to do so much to figure out the rules and work with the Screen Actors Guild. So for this project, we decided to do something a little bit different, which was use non-union actors. And we just went out there with a really incredible casting director named Deborah Markowitz. And we found brand new talent who had really not done a lot on screen. And these kids, they're just their energy is really just off the wall. I think, you know, people are going to find that these are the next stars of, you know, TV, of TV and film.
Is Hudson Falls going anywhere? Is it landed a network deal?
So Hudson Falls was shot in July, literally the first week we were allowed to shoot. We are in talks now, and we have a very exciting premiere. And Simon, as soon as we're allowed to talk about it, we will make sure to let you know.
Yeah.
Great. We've got the duo that is involved in a big way with the Norfolk 2020 Festival. It's year 5 of this popular attraction in the New York metro area in Long Island. And it's live, and it's in person, not virtual, and it's drive-in for the very first time. We're speaking to Artistic Director Elias Plagianos. I apologize. It's a really kind of name. That's on my fault, not your fault. And we also have Kathleen Burke, who is the producer of one of the pilots that's being shown called Super User Do. It's the winner of the Alfred P. Sloan Science and Technology Pilot Award. The both with us live from the New York metro area. This half hour on Tomorrow Be Televised. Simon Happ, I'm with you live from New York. Stay with us. We've got more great guests coming your way over the hour ahead. Plus, we have our classic trivia question next half hour. So make sure you get your thinking caps ready, because you could win if you know the answer to our classic trivia question that now is in its second and final week. So stay tuned for that. And, of course, you have a question or comment. Our remaining minutes, I guess, make the call 646-652-2906 or use the chat room, SimonApple04 by name. Kathleen, with SuperDo, any word yet on whether this pilot has some traction in terms of becoming a series?
I'm sure that there are opportunities for this. I mean, I think just even finishing it, which is, you know, only a recent development, we're just premiering it at North Fork. Once it's seen, I really do anticipate that it will stir something, because it is so reflective of this giant moment we're living through.
Yes, I mean, you might not know this, but we just shot the pilot last weekend, and it's going to premiere in 2 weeks.
2 weeks.
So this is very fresh. So no one has seen it. No one has even seen a clip of it, so it's going to be a really exciting time for the, premiere there.
We know that there's a lot of possible services that could come and production companies that could come with interest in these pilots, and there's a lot more programming services out there because of the surge that's been going on. We've been documenting on this program over the last few months. New services happening on smart TV sets and smart TV devices, and more in the works, especially those that are dealing with multicultural audiences. What's been the interest level in terms of coming out to the festival from not just the Netflix, the Hulus, the Amazons, the broadcast networks, cable, et cetera, but also from new production companies and from these new services on smart TV sets and devices?
So the question is who do we think is going to drive out there, or where it might wind up?
Who's expressing interest in coming?
Yeah, so I mean, we have Christina Wayne, who is one of the heads of Amazon Prime's original division. She's a big part of our festival, so she's gonna have a look at it first, obviously, and then, you know, we're not exactly sure how much industry is gonna be able to make it out there. So, like, you know, again, this year's festival is really less about trying to make a sale there as it is trying to thank the local community, who has really been so supportive of us for now year 5. But we are going to premiere this show on a cable network that I'm not sure I could say yet, but it will be premiering the pilot on a cable network with over 3 million viewers on November 7th. And as soon as we could get that info to you as well, we will let you know about that, Simon.
Great. Two more questions for you, Elias. One, one of your judges this year is somebody a lot of people know, particularly in the science fiction field, Rakesh O'Bannon, from his work on Twilight Zone, Farscape, other series. How are you able to get him? That's a very good catch for a judge. And secondly, in terms of interest, not just interest level, but in terms of, oh, I'm sorry about the special honoree, Jeremy Sisso. We know his work on Law and Order. He's done a lot of work in New York television or New York-based television, both present and current. What had him be a winner? Who else are some of the honorees that you'll have on that Saturday night?
Sure. So for your first question, Rockne has been part of the festival now. This is his third year. I mean, he's not just an incredible TV writer, an incredible TV creator, but he's also so supportive of young TV creators. Each and every one of the kids who's come through our festival, like he's been one of the only true champions where he will go out, he will write them emails, he will read their scripts, he will give them notes. I cannot say enough good things about Rockne. He's not just like a top-notch writer. He's like a top-notch human being. And we're just really, really grateful to have him be in on our festival judging committee. As for Jeremy, yeah, Jeremy is, you know, someone we love to really honor, like, you know, people who are like, you know, true New York actors. And like, you know, Jeremy, I'm sure you know from a lot of his work, and a lot of his work happens here in the city. So we're all huge fans, and we're just really honored that he's going to be out there to accept his award. And as of now, like we're trying to keep this year's festivities, you know, kind of streamlined. So we have, you know, two shows. We have our Super User Dude premiere, and we have our one award winner this year. And it's like a, you know, 2-hour show. Like, you know, people drive in. There's going to be food trucks. There's going to be wonderful wine from Geo. And there's going to be a nice program of original TV shows. And then they're going to get to see a interview with Jeremy Sisto live there.
And it all happens on Saturday, October 17th, out on Long Island Drive-In Style. That's North Fork TV Festival edition number 5. And if you want more details on it online, here's where you go, www.northfork.tv. That's www.northfork.tv. And again, on Friday's show, we hope to have one or two of the key pilots that will be presented at this festival. And maybe we can get Rockne on also. I've wanted to get him on for a long time, and maybe we can finally get him. We will work with the PR people to make it happen. Elias Piagianos, Kathleen Burke, thank you both very, very much for coming on. Kathleen, congratulations on your pilot being shown and winning the Alfred Pissos Award. It's a wonderful award, and I wish more people would be involved to create more programming aimed at that involves sciences and technology. It's a great field in terms of development for scripted series. And both of you, congratulations on getting this Northbrook off the ground, and unlike other TV festivals, live rather than virtual this year, and look forward to the Friday segment. And again, thank you both for coming on. It's been a pleasure.
Thank you, Simon. Really appreciate it.
Thank you, Simon.
You're welcome, Elias and Kathleen. Take care. Enjoy the week.
Will do. You too.
Thanks. You too.
Elias and Kathleen joining us live from New York from North Fork 2020. More details again, it's www.northfork.tv. More tomorrow's televised coming away, but first the words from the fine folks and our sponsor, Audible.com. One of the great classic novels of all time, George Orwell's 1984. It's in audiobook format again, and it's great, narrated by the wonderful actor Simon Preble. And you can get it right now if you become a trial member for 1 month with Audible.com. You know, Audible.com is the leading provider of spoken digital audio entertainment, information, and inspiration, with over 200,000 titles to choose from. And you listen on any device, including whatever you're hearing us on right now, with Blog Talk Radio, Spreaker, TuneIn Radio, Amazon Music, and iHeartRadio. And all you have to do is go to This URL, audibletrial.com/televised. That's audibletrial.com/televised. You get one free audiobook, health and wellness material for a limited time only, and that 1 month trial with great customer service from Audible's parent, Amazon.com. By the way, congratulations to Audible on their brand new deal with Conan O'Brien for a new comedy-oriented podcast and maybe much, much more. Maybe TV series, I have it too. Well, if you're an Amazon Prime customer already, you're in luck. You get two audiobooks for the trial of one. So how about finding out for yourself today how Audible.com can transform the way you hear the world. For that 1 month trial, one or two free audio books, depending on if you're an Amazon Prime customer or not, and more, audibletrial.com/televised. Coming up for our next half hour, more Canadian television is coming in the United States later this month through HBO Max. The program is called The Detention Adventure. That's Detention Adventure. And joining us will be co-creator and director Joe Kickat, and executive producer Lauren Corber. They're both live from Toronto, and we'll get to them after we pause at the bottom of the hour for web identification. You connect to the best internet radio on the planet, www.blogtalkradio.com, Spreaker.com, TuneIn Radio, TuneIn.com. Together, reach over 50 million listeners around the world every month and growing. Don't forget, TuneIn Radio is your home for the Coronavirus News Channel, all the latest coronavirus developments from all around the mundo, plus podcast, other original material as well. The Coronavirus News Channel, operating 24/7 for you. TuneIn Radio at TuneIn.com. Welcome back to more of our 90th edition of Tomorrow Be Televised to open up your week. Simon Applebaum with you live from New York. 68 degrees at the top of the hour here in the Big Apple. More great guests coming your way in the hour ahead. Happy you're aboard. If you have questions or comments for our guests ahead, give us a call, 646-652-2906, or use our chat room, SimonApple04 by name. Either way, we will hear you. It's been an amazing run of Canadian-produced shows that are making their way to the United States. Connor on the CW, more recently Transplant, getting great reviews on NBC, already signed for a second season. And coming up later this month, a new series that is now its second season on CBC Gem, that's their Netflix-like service, started on Friday. Well, coming up, it will be on HBO Max in the United States. It's called Detention Adventure. And joining us live on the program from Toronto, Canada, is the co-creator and director of all the episodes, Joe Kickat, and executive producer, Lauren Corber. Joe and Lauren, welcome in.
Hey,
thanks so much for having us.
It is a pleasure. First of all, Joe, what do you and everybody in Canada make of this incredible run or streak of Canadian-produced shows that were originally seen on television in your neck of the woods? Now they're coming in here in the United States.
I mean, I think everyone is very excited about that, and just to be able to share our content with the world.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's super exciting. I mean, I think, obviously, I'm biased, but we produce amazing television here in Canada, and we're thrilled that we're getting to share it with the rest.
And side note to both of you, we've also seen developments the last week or so, this idea of a Canadian content accelerator, where the Consul General of Quebec and other parts of the country are working with independent production companies to create shows in the United States and globally. And then this woman, Julie Bristow, who came out last week with this special content fund that is going to work with producers to get shows produced and financed for in Canada, for the U.S., and so forth. And we hope to have Julie on the show not too far down the road. So, Joe, talk about this series, Detention Adventure. How'd it get going?
It's a very complicated story, but essentially we were at CBC with another show that I was attached to, and that pitch very quickly fell apart, and I asked CBC sort of what they were looking for, and they were getting into family content. So I have a writing partner, and we actually had written two other family series by then. That were half hour, and we said, you know what, let's just come up with something. And we went to a Starbucks one morning and came up with Detention Adventure over, I think, a few days, and pitched it to CBC, and I think they greenlit it maybe like 2 months later. So it was a very quick process.
You never know what Starbucks can do, by the way, Joe, and it's you need to get born that way.
What's that?
And Lauren, what about you? It's amazing how what things can happen at a Starbucks. TV series get born,
exactly.
Movies get born, you know, using napkins, you know, paper cups, et cetera, over lattes and tafuzi tea and all that sort of stuff. Lauren, how'd you get involved in the series?
So I became involved in the series initially. I guess it came to me through a few different ways. One was through Joe, and
My producing partner on the show, Ryan West, and I had worked together on some other shows. So he had approached me about working on the show also. And, fortunately, I became involved in this. I mean, I saw the project and I read the creative, and I knew immediately that I wanted to get involved in it.
I just want to add that I hounded Lauren like crazy, and she never returned my phone calls. And now I can't get her off the phone.
It's all enrollment. All enrollment. Absolutely. First line, first, last, et cetera. It's all enrollment. Joe, in reading about the series, it's a very interesting premise. It's like a little history, a little adventure, a little action, and a lot dealing with this unusual spin on the idea of detention. Explain it.
Yeah, so essentially, when you're writing sort of family content, you have to sort of touch base on a lot of things. Like, you need to have the educational content. The kids definitely want adventure. Like, it has to be exciting. And there's things, you know, the shows that I loved as kids, like Neverending Story, sort of had that gamut of everything in it, right? So when we were looking at it, we were sort of going from like an 80s, 90s perspective, which, you know, I think would hit up the older generation that family, like that parents could watch and feel nostalgic, yet be contemporary for kids in this day.
And
so, I was just going to say that it's got like a very Goonies sort of Breakfast Club feel to it.
Yeah, is that fair to say, Lauren, that films like Neverending Story, The Goonies, other types of like clubby group of kids or teenagers getting involved to be on an adventure trail, that was the inspiration?
Yeah, absolutely. I think to me, like Goonies and Breakfast Club are a great sort of comparison to this show. But the thing that's super fun about it is season one focuses on science. So the kids basically are searching for this fabled secret lost lab of Alexander Graham Bell. But the only way into the tunnel to the lab is through the detention room. So the kids basically have to get in trouble. And what they do is they do a bunch of science experiments that end up landing them in trouble. So visually it's a lot of fun, and it's a lot of fun to watch the kids pulling pranks on their school, obviously. All the stuff we wish we could do.
The program we're talking about is Detention Adventure. It is now in its second season on GEN, that is CBC's Netflix Life service, which is, by the way, available on smart TV sets and smart TV devices, not just in Canada, but globally. And starting on October 15th, HBO Max will premiere the first season here in the U.S. of A. We're talking with the co-creator and director of the episode, Joe Kickback, and an executive producer, Lauren Korver. They're both live from Toronto, Canada, great production center for TV, not just in Canada, but in the U.S. and around the mundo. And they're both with us live from Toronto this half hour on Tomorrow Will Be Televised. Happy you're with us, too. So I'm in Applebaum with you live from New York, joining you away through Blog Talk Radio, Spreaker, TuneIn Radio. We're also on Amazon Music and the iHeartRadio Podcast Network. If you have a question or comment for our guests, make the call, 646-652-2906, or use our chat room, SimonApple04 by name. Again, coming your way Friday on Tomorrow Be Televised, our next episode, we've got the co-star of the popular BET series created by Lena Waithe, 20s, big hit early this year, coming back for season 2 in 2021. Her name is Ashley Haynes. In addition to her work on 20s, she has a very interesting side business, working with candles. She'll explain it all as our lead guest. And then, as we promised earlier in the program, we will have one or two of the pilot winners for the North Fork TV Festival 2020 that we highlight in our first half hour. Then we win it, hopefully, in our second half hour on Friday. And don't forget, 1 week from today, from ABC's revival of Supermarket Sweep starring Leslie Jones, that premiered on October 18th, Sunday night, we'll have executive producers Alicia Rossiter and Wes Cobble. That's all 1 week from Monday, 3 p.m. Eastern, noon Pacific, exclusively here on Tomorrow Will Be Televised. Lauren, once you got the green light for you and Joe and your crew to do this series, how long did it take to put everything together and get this thing rolling?
I'd say it was probably a couple months, pretty much. We got the green light in the spring of 2018, and we were in production by August. So it all happened pretty quickly.
And I'm sure you're aware, Joe, that, you know, if you're going for a Goonies-like flavor, you really want to have a great bunch of kids and teens that really can connect with each other, both as actors and as people. How long did it take to get that process together?
Yeah, that was the biggest challenge, and we spent a lot of time looking for our cast. And I think we looked at hundreds of kids for each character, and then obviously we whittle it down to like 10 of them, and eventually it gets very close, and then you're just looking for something special in each one of them. And we definitely took them out for pizzas, and we wanted to make sure that they became friends, right? Because that has to really connect on the screen. So that was sort of it, yeah.
Yeah. In creating and writing the series with you and your writers, did you look at this as a serialized novel in terms of the style, or were you looking at it where, as you unfold the big mystery, that each episode, this group of adventurers has something to solve, and they solve that part?
Yeah, I mean, originally it really did start off as an episodic show where it's one character, and the episode sort of wraps up. But as we went, it became a little bit more serialized, and everything became interconnected. So it was, you had to keep just going with the whole series. And we found that that actually had better viewership response, which season two is very serialized.
Lauren, how did the series get produced? Did you shoot it in Toronto? Did you go elsewhere in Canada? What was it like in terms of the production process as you got deeper and deeper into the overall mystery?
The production process was definitely an interesting one. I mean, as a season one of a series, it was actually quite low budget, even though it doesn't look that way on the screen. So we really had to be as economical as possible, and we have some big builds involved. So, like, all of the tunnels that you saw were all built for the show, and it was really exciting to watch it come together. So essentially, we took over a school for about 2 months and built the sets and filmed most of the production for season one in the school. We had an amazing team that was able to pull it together and make it look as fantastic as it did.
Mm-hmm. And Joe, were there any visual effects or important computer effects that were used? And if not, how do you deal with the adventure side of things, the more mystical or magical side of things?
I mean, it's funny because we very much we hate visual effects, and we tried to do as much practical effects as possible. So if there is, if it's a door, like there's a scene with these cogs, these giant cogs, they were built practically. Anything like trap doors or whatever, they were all, they were something that the kids could actually touch and feel. And I think that comes across on the screen. But, like anything, we ended up adding a ton of effects just to heighten things, like dust or, So, yeah, at the end of the day, there was actually probably about over 300 effects in the series.
Mm. Lauren, I've watched children's television or family television out of Canada for a very long time. And I think it's one of the really untold stories. Particularly the United States, is the fact that there has been a great heritage of family television produced in Canada. Programs like The Littlest Hobo, which is sort of the Lassie of Canada. It's like mixes Lassie and The Fugitive. There's also The Newcomers, Danger Bay, which did get a run on the Disney Channel early on, in the Disney Channel's run in the 80s. What is producing family television like? For a family audience in Canada? We're talking about an adventure, drama, dramedy kind of programming, as opposed to comedy.
Yeah. Yeah, I'll be honest. Like, this is the first kid show that I've produced. For the most part, I've been producing comedy shows. So it was different, a bit of a different genre here. But the thing is, there are so many talented kids producers here that have sort of paved the way and shown the world that we're amazing at producing this kid programming. And I think one thing that I'm really proud of about the show is that we don't talk down to kids. In the show, like, we very much talk to kids as we would talk to adults, but obviously using appropriate language. And also, the other thing that I think resonates with our show is that we've got jokes in there for the adults. There's a lot of subtleties that it's so much fun to watch with people as they pick up on them. So.
We are. Go ahead, Joe. You have anything to say something?
Nope, I'm okay.
Okay, all right, we go forward. We are speaking with the two people working on Detention Adventure. That is the new series that is now in its second season on CBC Gem. That's their Netflix live service, starting this past Friday. But on October 15th, it comes to US of A, courtesy of HBO Max, which is available on smart TV sets and smart TV devices. We've got the co-creator and director of the show, Joe Kickack, and executive producer Lauren Korber, both live from Toronto, Canada, this half hour on Tomorrow We Televise. Simon, I'm on with you live from New York, down south from where they are. If you have a question or comment on our meeting moments with them, give us a call, 646-652-2906, or use that chat room, SimonApple04 by name. And stay tuned, because before the top of the hour, we've got our classic trivia question of the week, and we have a trio of prizes in play if you can get our trivia question now in its second week and final week of play. So get those thinking caps ready, because maybe by the end of today, you might be our latest classic trivia winner. Joe, you mentioned the first season dealt with science. This season deals with history. What is the main plot all about here? How is it different from what happened first season?
So not to give the ending away of first season, but we never thought there would be a second season, to be very honest with you. So we sort of left it in a Back to the Future kind of ending of like, there's another mystery. So basically, Alexander Graham Bell lived in Brantford, Ontario, which our co-creator lived in, and he said that there was this rich guy named Ignatius Cockshut that basically like founded the town, and he was sort of like a Jebediah Springfield, and so we sort of used that as a joke platform at the end of season two to seed it in case we ever went back there. So that's sort of based on him.
Mm-hmm. Do both of you try in the second season, because it deals with history, to do some historical accuracy work, to do some research into maybe different aspects of history that the team deals with that actually is a takeaway also for the audience?
Yes.
Yes,
so
absolutely.
Essentially the way that obviously this was, we didn't really know about too much. We actually discovered quite a bit as we were writing the show about the town's history, as well as the arcs of the kids, that so many of the themes are that they're finding things out about themselves and their family and about how they can sort of change their own future as they move forward.
Mm-hmm. Ron, in producing it this second season, what did you learn from the first season that you applied to the second?
That we need more money.
That we need more money. Yeah, absolutely. It was a very ambitious shoot, given our budget, and we definitely were looking at more money for one of them. But, I mean, the other thing that was really interesting is when we shot season one, we shot it during the summer when the kids were not in school. But when we shot season two, the kids were in school. So that was definitely one challenge that we had to deal with. And then also season two took place at various locations, whereas in season one, we really stayed in one place. So basically what we learned is that Joe should choose one expensive thing and only one. And
right.
Then we'll be good. And he has been not such a fan of that. So anyway, so each season budget is definitely a challenge for us, but we try to come up with creative ways to get around it.
Mm-hmm. Well, by the way, what do you both think about the fact that go ahead. I'm sorry, Ron. Go ahead.
Oh. Well, I was just going to say, like, in Canada, the other thing is we're extremely lucky to have the funding options that we have available to us in Canada, both through the government, through our tax credits, through our broadcaster and CBC, and as well as a whole bunch of private funds that have made this show possible. It was with the help of initially the Independent Production Fund, which is a first-in funder for series like this, and they believed in the show, and through that we were able to get funding through another four agencies, including the Shiraka Fund, the Canada Media Fund, the Bell Fund, and it just kind of spiraled. So thankfully we had one on board, and then the rest followed.
Mm-hmm. It's really great, by the way, to see that we're seeing more effort by different organizations in Canada to increase the amount of Canadian-made series, not just for Canadian television services, but also for the rest of the world. And like I said, it's great to see the Canadian Cable Accelerator, the Canadian Content Accelerator, and also the content fund that this independent producer, Julie Bristow, is putting together. And we hope, by the way, as I said, in future episodes to have a deeper focus on both projects. So I think they're going to be very special projects as time goes on. By the way, what do you folks think about the fact that HBO Max has taken the show and that you're going to get exposure in the United States in a good way?
We're ecstatic. Okay. When we started this, yeah. We really thought we just wanted to make a web series. We thought it would just end up on like YouTube or something. So, the fact that it's going global and to be on HBO Max is, it's a testament to everybody that worked on the show, I think.
Yeah, absolutely. We did a bit of a non-traditional model with this show. So normally an animated show would be 11 minutes each, but ours is live action and each episode is 11 minutes. So it's a unique model that can be combined into a half an hour or told in shorter segments. So that was really interesting. But when you do a release of a show and you can do an international release, it brings so many opportunities to the table for promotion and for getting eyeballs on the show. So having it premiere in Canada and the United States so close together is very exciting.
HBO Max, in its first few months, has developed quite an interesting reputation for children's and family programming with their Looney Tunes revival, with Craftopia, which we covered on our show with the producers of that series back in the summer, and a number of other shows they've come out with since their premiere in the summer that show they're going to become a major force, I think, in children's and family television. Before we go, I want to give you a fanciful question. If there was a Canadian TV series Hall of Fame, just like there's the TV Academy here in the United States has a Hall of Fame, they've been doing it for decades. But if there ever was a Canadian television Hall of Fame, what would you make like your first or second choice? We're going to start with you. What would you pick as like your first or second choice for Canadian TV Hall of Fame?
I think Degrassi's got to be up there.
Mm-hmm.
Then, wow, who would this is a tough – you already called out Little Otobo. That's basically my childhood. So I'm gonna go with those two.
Great choices, Joe. Degrassi had a great run, of course, in the United States through public television, then Nickelodeon for many years, and Teen Nick. What about you, Lauren? What would be like your two choices?
Ooh, that's a tough one. Jerry, I would have gone with Degrassi, but I'll go with something different. Mr. Dress-Up, I think, is a big one. Mm-hmm. That's from my childhood. Mm-hmm. We also, if you're looking at children's, we have such good animated shows, too. Paw Patrol is Canadian, So I'll go with Odd Squad. Odd Squad is a fantastic show. That I think is in the same target audience as ours, and actually some of our cast were in Odd Squad, and it's a really well done show.
Uh-huh. Well, I'll pick one adult show and one children's show. On the adult side, a show from the 1960s that I'm happy you said that you can now see some episodes on YouTube. It was really ahead of its time, called Wojak, starring a brilliant actor named John Byrne, who plays a police coroner. He's like the first Quincy, if you will, before Jack Klugman and that series. It's a wonderfully done show in black and white, wonderfully directed, great acting, great writing, really one of the great standout shows of Canadian television, of early Canadian television. And then in terms of another classic show that was put in the Hall of Fame, because of the marvelous performance it did, a show called The Friendly Giant that CBC put together with a public TV station in Wisconsin. A marvelous human being named Bob Hamme. I watched that show regularly growing up. One of the most fanciful, terrific, small-budget shows you will ever see. And a lot of people in the United States still remember growing up with that series. Bob was a marvelous talent. I still remember the big boot, the rain that started the show, the puppets, the castle, the castle door that would go on, open and shut at the beginning, and, of course, the marvelous theme music that opened and closed every episode. One of the great shows.
That's a good call. Tell us that we could include adults.
Okay.
In our choices.
Yeah. But I would have to say that's kind of the – I have to say Friendly Giant has to be a slam dunk among early Hall of Famers.
Yeah.
Definitely.
But also, yeah, they're both very good choices.
Yeah. And thank you both for your choices. They're really, really marvelous. Like I said, Canadian television, a lot more people should know about its history because they've done a lot of great things over the years on all different genres. And for many years, it also had the veneer of second-class television, low budget, et cetera, et cetera. But they did some wonderful work in the 60s, 70s, and so forth, and now it's really flowering thanks to more ambitious shows that are now getting a role on they've got a role in recent years like Due South, Flashpoint, and others on American television, and now this wonderful new group like Coroner, Transplant, and your program, which is really, really great.
Yeah.
Again, the first season of Detention Adventure premieres on October 15th on HBO Max, available on smart TV sets and devices all over the U.S. of A., also on cable systems as well. And the second season is now running on CBC Gem, which is the Netflix of Canada from the Canadian Broadcast Corporation, CBC. If you want more details about the show online, two places to go. For the HBO Max version, it's www.hbomax.com. And for season two, it's cbcgem.ca. That's cbcgem.ca. And that service is also available on smart TV sets and devices like Amazon Fire TV, Roku, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Either way, Detention Adventure season one, now available on HBO Max in a couple of weeks. Season two, now available on CBC Gem. Joe Kickack, Lauren Corbett, thank you so much for coming on the program. Congratulations on season two. Hopefully more seasons in the offering, and all the very best to both of you. It's been a great time having you on.
Thanks so much.
Thank you so much for having
us. Thanks for having us.
You're welcome, Joe and Lauren. Take care. Have a great weekend.
Thanks, you too.
Take care.
Joe Kickack, Lauren Corbett, joining us live from Toronto, Canada. Now it's time for our classic trivia question of the week. Second week, we're doing the question. If you are first with the correct answer, we have a trio of prizes for you. First of all, the book front, we have Constant Comedy. That is the book about the making of Comedy Central from one of its initial executives, Art Bell, who was on this program a couple weeks ago. And Becoming Ginger Rogers, How Ballroom Dancing Made Me a Happier Woman, Better Partner, and Smarter, Chief Executive Officer, by Patrice Tanaka, who's based here in New York, and it's by Bumbella Brooks. And we have a trio of episodes of the popular That Joe Wild series, Fish Tank Kings, available for you, and if you can answer this question. As you mentioned, last month was the 40th anniversary of Entertainment Tonight. Here's the question in its honor. Name two of the three original hosts of Entertainment Tonight back in 1980. Name two of the three original hosts of Entertainment Tonight back in 1980, 40 years ago. If you know the answer, email me, simonapple04@yahoo.com. It's simonapple04@yahoo.com. Don't forget to enclose your name and where you're emailing from. And remember, if you go first with the correct answer, you win. And if we don't get an answer by the end today, we will post the question tomorrow morning on Facebook, that's Simon Applebaum, and on Twitter, at UBC Simon TWBT. That's the UBC Simon TWBT. Remember, as we always say around here, in order to win, play in, and all the very best. Give me one more time with that question. Name two, that's two, of Entertainment Tonight's three original hosts back in 1980. And, of course, again, congratulations to E.T. on 40 years of great coverage of entertainment television, being one of the really great benchmarks of satellite-delivered syndicated TV back in 1980. Really a breakthrough venture, and still is, too, with Kevin Frazier and crew. So, again, if you know the answer, email me. So do you do, so you might win. And, of course, that's simonapple04@yahoo.com. That's simonapple04@yahoo.com. Don't forget to enclose the name and where you're emailing from. When we come back, there's a brand-new network dealing with lifestyle. There's some very interesting new shows, including an interactive beauty show. The service is called Bespoke TV. We've got the chief executive, Michael Dutcher. He's live from L.A. Plus, if we have time, our second version of Reboot This, all coming your way after we pause at the top of the hour for web identification. This is www.blogtalkradio.com, speaker.com, tunein.com, together reaching over 50 million listeners around the world every month and growing. And don't forget tomorrow on BeatStar, a very popular program celebrates its 1,000th episode. It's John Talk Radio. It's not just talk, it's music and more. John Talk Radio marks episode 1,000 tomorrow, 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Pacific. Congratulations to everybody putting that show together. Episode 1,000, John Talk Radio, tomorrow, 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Pacific, exclusively on Blog Talk Radio. And remember, Best of BTR available 24/7 at YouTube.com. Welcome back to the final half hour of Tomorrow Be Televised. It's Monday afternoon, first of two this week. And welcome to those of you just joining us at the top of the hour. Happy you're aboard. Simon Applebaum with you live from New Weather, New York. 68 degrees at the top of the hour. And if you have a question or comment for our final guest, make that phone call and be in the conversation. 646-652-2906. The 646-652-2906. Numbers good anywhere, your catch us throughout the country or around the globe here on Blog Talk Radio, Spreaker, and TuneIn Radio. Plus, our chat room is there for you. It's SimonApple04 by name. You can find it on the homepage, blogtalkradio.com/televised. As we have been exploring all the last few months, there are so many networks that are happening on smart TV sets, smart TV devices, and multicast channels. A few of them are in the lifestyle arena, and the latest to be in that boat is called Bespoke TV. And joining us live to talk about it is its chief executive live from Los Angeles, Michael Dutcher. Hello, Michael.
Hey, how are you today?
Very, very fine, thank you. Let's get right into it. Bespoke TV, how did it get going and when did it start?
Well, it started about 18 months ago, and my co-founder and I realized three things were happening out there. One was YouTube creators in the beauty, fashion, and lifestyle space were getting better and better in front of the camera. We saw that distributors, my background is in over-the-top television, were asking for beauty and fashion programming in a linear format. And the third thing was that we were seeing emerging brands and direct-to-consumer brands not being able to assemble a large audience without breaking the bank in the traditional social media marketing channels.
So you really jumped the gun on this big surge, this tidal wave of original programming on smart sets and devices, these new networks from independent players like yourself that's been popping up all spring, all summer long. Why do you think that this is the time that we've seen this tidal wave?
Well, I think, number one, I think that there's a lot of really well-produced content, and it's been, you know, I think the fact that people can shoot in their own homes or their own facilities has really democratized content creation. And I think what smart TV and the OTT platforms have done is created very small niches that cable and satellite couldn't sustain, because you can't really speak to a niche in cable and satellite. They need, you know, 250,000, 500,000 people every 15 minutes watching, or it's not sustainable.
So when you're talking about beauty programming, health programming, that area of lifestyle that you're really sort of using as a sort of micro niche, explain more about what the niche entails. Mm-hmm. What kind of beauty shows, what kind of health shows, what kind of related lifestyle shows?
So we have, you know, a lot of it is tutorials. We have interactive beauty, which in a holistic way with Tiffany Anderson. We have stylists on the network. We have luxury stylists. We also have travel, and also on the beauty side, or actually on the fashion side, a big type of programming that's really resonating with our audience is The Haul, where the host goes out and buys or has delivered a bunch of clothing, and then they try it on and they give them their honest opinion on how this clothing fits at different body sizes.
Mm-hmm. Well, I want to welcome one of our chat room folks from last week, Bobo by Three. That person's back with us. There's a question or comment for our guest. Put in the room or make the call, 646-652-2906. We're happy to have you back. You mentioned Interactive Beauty. That is one of your newest shows. Talk more about that show, Tiffany Anderson's role in it, and why you call it Interactive Beauty.
Because, okay, so Tiffany's story is, she had come down with some afflictions, one of them being cancer, and had worked through this, and also had gotten into, unfortunately, an automobile accident, and realized that the holistic approach was delivering the best results for her, and realized also through that process that it would help many people in the, you know, with just general beauty. And it's interactive because Tiffany really engages with the audience, and it's a 52 week cycle, and she's actually putting challenges out to the audience so that they can grow with the show, which is an interesting idea.
And how does the audience respond to those challenges? Can they do it in an interactive form using their remote control or using artificial intelligence voice service like Siri or Google Assistant, which are now available through smart TV sets and smart devices in a bigger way?
Yeah, they're going to use their mobile or handheld device. And the reason for that is because we're a channel that's not, we don't have, you'll never go to bespoke app on Apple TV, for instance. You'll always go to a third party distributor. So think of us like you would think of Bravo, where to watch Bravo in its native form, you go to DirecTV or you go to your cable provider or you go to your OTT provider. If you want to catch up, you'll go to their application, but you're not watching the actual shows on the actual feed on their application.
Mm-hmm. Is your service subscription supported or is it ad supported?
It's ad supported. It's free to the consumer and to the distributor, actually.
Yeah. And are you finding a lot of ad interest so far, particularly among the sponsors in the beauty category or in the health category?
Yes. Yeah, absolutely. We're seeing a lot of beauty because we came up with some new ad units that are really work for direct-to-consumer and emerging brands and gets them into television at a really reasonable rate with a big upside. We've seen a lot of beauty brands. And, you know, in January, we're premiering a show called Beauty Boss, which will be a competition, a weekly competition show, where the contestants have to use three products plus whatever else they want to create a look like the festival look. And beauty brands are loving that because they get content, they also get presentation inside, and it's product placement.
Yeah. You read my mind. Product placement bonanza.
Yes. Yeah. it is a bonanza for beauty. It just made for it, and even fashion as well. And when we're talking about lifestyle, we're primarily speaking of travel, fitness, and cooking.
Mm-hmm. And we'll get to those sides of your network in a few moments. We're speaking with Martin Dutcher. He is the chief executive officer of Bespoke TV. It's a service that's been around on smart TV sets and smart devices for 18 months and growing as we speak. He joins us live from Los Angeles this half hour on Tomorrow We Televise. Simon, I'm with you live from Nueva York. Happy to have you with us on this Monday afternoon. Thanks for kicking off the week with us, the program all about TV's current and future. If you have a question or comment for Martin, make the call, 646-65, I'm sorry, Michael Dutcher. Michael, sorry about that. If you have a comment for Michael or a question, make the call, 646-652-2906. Or use our chat room, SimonApple04 by name. Vocal by 3 is in the room with us, and we'd love to have company from you as well. Don't forget, coming up on Friday's episode, we will have the co-star of the popular BET series 20s, Ashley Haynes, who also is a very interesting side business doing things with candles. And we'll talk about how 20s is going to year 2, that Lena Waithe series in 2021. And we'll also have one or two of the winning pilots that are being presented at this year's Norfolk TV Festival in Long Island coming up later this month. And we also may have one of the judges from the festival as well. So that's all coming up Friday at 3 p.m. Eastern New Pacific here on Tomorrow Be Televised. And once again, coming your way on Monday, next Monday that is, from ABC's revival of Supermarket Sweep, executive producer Alicia Rossiter and Wes Cobble. That's coming up next Monday, 3 p.m. Eastern New Pacific, live and exclusive right here on Tomorrow Be Televised. Don't miss it. It should be a dandy. Michael, talk about what you do on your network apart from beauty. What do you do with fitness? What do you do in the area of travel and cooking? How do you make it different from what other networks are doing?
Well, our fitness is really focused on bringing our viewers, again, more interactive, more engaged with the host. One of our fitness programs is by a host. Her name is Dashima. She does a lot of well, she did prior to the pandemic, a lot of events around the world with yoga and with meditation, and is now making that something that's happening on the air. In the travel world, we have probably some of the best travel content I've seen from YouTube. Haley Dosovich, who we've created a show called Around the World, brings a drone operator with her. So some of the content that we're looking at, when I first saw it, I thought it was National Geographic's quality content. And on the cooking side, we run the gamut from shows that are done in a studio that, if you saw them while you were flipping through, many of our viewers think that it's the Cooking Network. And then some others are done in homes and done so well. Like we have a home Chinese cooking show, which is really interesting to see, you know, Chinese food in this country isn't seen as something that you cook at home traditionally. We also have a cooking show that's from India that is all traditional Indian cooking and done in a way that you can replicate it at home. So I think that's where we're a bit different. And also, we can do shows that are smaller because of the fact of we're available on OTT. By the middle of this month, we'll be in 12 markets over the air, including Los Angeles, Chicago, Orlando, and Sacramento. And then we're also starting to roll out on some smaller cable and telephone systems.
Is it fair to say that when you are searching for content or series to put on your service, that you're looking especially for services that have a personality or a host attached that can become a personality, sort of an ambassador for your service?
Absolutely, yeah. And that's the point. That was one of the driving forces of why we did this, is because we're seeing, you know, hosts on YouTube becoming better and better in front of the camera. It's remarkable. Again, because of the fact that it's so inexpensive relative to 25 years ago, or even 15 years ago, to, you know, shoot and edit content in a way that's television-like, it's amazing. It really is.
What's been the reaction, since you've been on the air for 18 months, what's been the reaction from the audience? How do they see the content? How are they perceiving the network?
So we've been on air. We started the company 18 months ago. We launched the service in February. And so a little over 6 months is when we've been live. And the feedback has been positive. YouTube is a vast place. And, you know, I like to think of us as a trusted filter. And we have content that's, again, original content, like Tiffany Anderson's Interactive Beauty, as well as Beauty Boss. And we also have syndicated content like The Look All Stars, and we have The Tech Show, and we also have a syndicated travel show. So, but again, being able to come to one source, sit back and watch content that's of quality has been something that our audience has really appreciated.
I remember The Look All Stars. It was a project several years ago by Sinclair in an effort to try to do more syndicated programming on its local TV stations around the country. And I'm curious, the travel show that you have from Sinclair, is that Raw Travel?
No, it's not. Yes. No, I'm familiar with that show as well. But no, that's not on our system. We have and it's escaping me because things escape me once in a while. But I will remember and tell you in a moment.
Yeah. Raw Travel, by the way, we covered it with the person who is the host and the executive producer, who was a former person with Univision, the Spanish language network. And it's still going strong. It's like eighth or ninth season in syndication and does better every year, more stations, better time periods, so on and so forth. By the way, is that a goal maybe to take some of your better shows and put them in syndication at some point so that they may have a chance at a different audience?
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely something that we're considering. I mean, you know, there's two ways to look at it. Do you do the traditional syndication route, or do you take the route that you know, Netflix is taking, which is to keep everything in house and, you know, and grow it from there and be sort of use the long tail concept. And by the way, the show that I was thinking of is the Jet Set, which I'm sure you're familiar with.
Yeah. I had a couple of years in syndication and did pretty well for the kind of show it was doing. Anyway,
yeah.
We're talking about Bespoke TV, which is the lifestyle network. It's been up and running for 6 months. The company itself has been around for 18. We're talking with the chief executive of the company, Michael Dutcher. He's live from Los Angeles in this hour on Tomorrow Be Televised. And if you have a question or comment remaining this with Michael, give a call, 646-652-2906. Or use our chat room, SimonApple04 by name. And coming up before we leave you, we will have round two of our new feature called Reboot This, shows that had a very short lifespan on television that we think, in this era of rebooting programs, deserves a second chance. Our second entry for this time around, it's a series from the 1960s starring Richard Crenna on CBS, a one-of-its-kind show that we think deserves, particularly in these days, another shot. Borba by Three, who comes across as like our curmudgeon here on our program in our chat room, has an interesting question for you. And it's this. Given where we're at in television, with all the ways a TV show can go on the air, broadcast networks, cable, programming services like Netflix, mega services like HBO Max and Peacock and Apple TV Plus and so on, and again, all these new services like yours that have popped up over the last 6-7 months through smart TV sets and devices and more to come, here's this question. Will TV ever return to something he recognizes?
Well, that's a good question. I mean, are we talking about, you know, must-see TV on a Thursday night? I don't know if it'll ever come back to that. I think that, you know, if you look at what HBO does and even what, you know, some of the services have done in, you know, in Netflix and Apple TVs, a couple of their originals, it's really good television. I don't think the quality of television has dissipated. I think what's happened is because of the fact that services like ours can function with less of an audience and still be successful than traditional, you know, cable or satellite, we're going to see more and more content, like I said, narrower and narrower to speak to an audience that is hungry for that content. But I don't know if he's asking, is it going to look like I said, like must-see TV, Seinfeld, you know, circa 1989? No, I don't think we're going to come back to that just by virtue of the fact that the democratization of content has changed things forever.
And also, you have more and more services that seem to be have the ability to stay on as well as get on. And you also have more and more people, particularly people of color, women of color, who want to produce programming because of the fact that this country is getting more and more multicultural, and so is the rest of the world. And speaking of diversity, and it is Diversity Week, by the way, in case you join us at the top of the hour, Women in Cable has this virtual event happening here in New York, and also NAMIC. The Cable University Association will do a 4-day event of their annual conference starting tomorrow, going running the rest of the week. Other events going also the rest of the week, plus we have Advertising Week. NYC Media Lab has its event coming up later in the week. What efforts is your service doing to expand diversity? You mentioned the Chinese cooking show. What other things are you doing in terms of expanding diversity or giving people of color, women of color, a chance to produce shows for you?
Absolutely. Somewhere between 10 and 15 shows on the network that are hosted and produced by women of color. We also have 4 or 5 shows. I'm not off the top of my head. I don't know the exact number of women over 50. And it was important when we started that was a very important thing to me. Again, 18 months ago that representation happened because I think it's something that traditional television has really not done well. So we made a concerted effort and continue to make a concerted effort. We reach out to more producers of color and unrepresented than any other cross section, and would love to have them contact us at hello@bespoketv anytime and .com, and we'll have a conversation and move forward.
Speaking of moving forward, reading Verbal by Three's new comments in the chat room, I think he needs a subsidy of some sort to catch all this quality television. He's interested, but he's like, who cares about the quality? I can't afford the cost. So maybe someone should get him some sort of special subsidy or something to get it. And we're kidding, of course, but he's a good person, whoever he is, and I know he's he's good provocative in terms of questions. Final one for you, Michael. Where do you see this service going over, let's say, 2, 3, 5 years? What kind of shows you're not doing now that you'd like to do? Do you want to make your network more interactive? Where do you want to go?
Yes, we're actually moving down the path of bringing some interactivity, more interactivity into the system. We're also shows that we want to do. That's a good question. I think we're doing what we want for today. We have some other ideas that we're working through, but I'm sure that as time goes on, people will come up with better ideas and pitch them to us, and we'll walk forward with them. I think that we will, and to answer your other question, we'll just continually add more and more local over-the-air affiliates, which is, again, great because it's of no cost to a local television viewer. They can listen, they can watch the network at no cost with a digital antenna, a $15 digital antenna.
It just hit me, one of TNT's most popular original shows in recent years was Claws, with Neasley Nash and crew taking place in a nail salon. So it had a beauty theme with a little bit of underworld motif along with. Would you ever take a scripted show, or is it pretty much, avoid that subject, it's all unscripted for us?
Right now it's all unscripted. It's really about being the best lifestyle television show in the world. And I would never say never, but it's unscripted, I think, is where we live most effectively.
Bespoke TV, it's been around for 6 months. It's available on Amazon Fire TV, Roku, Apple TV, other smart TV devices, soon on smart TV sets as well. If you want more details about the service online, here's where you go, bespoketv.com. It's BSPOKETV. .com. Bespoke TV, available on smart TV devices, soon on smart TV sets. Michael Kuchar, the Chief Executive Officer of the service, thank you again for joining us. Congratulations on what you've accomplished so far, and we look forward to charting your progress as you go forward. It's been a pleasure.
Thank you very much for the time. Have a good rest of the day.
You too, Michael, and the week as well. Take care. All the greatest.
Bye-bye.
Michael Kuchar, Chief Executive Officer of Bespoke TV, joining us live from Los Angeles. Last week, we started a brand new segment here on Tomorrow Be Televised. We call it Reboot This. And we thought, with all the rebooting that's going on, everything from One Day at a Time to The Conners, reboot of Roseanne, et cetera, what about the possibility of TV, some TV network, some TV service, rebooting shows that had a very short lifespan and didn't deserve it, whether a year, 6 months, et cetera, that really deserve a second shot? Our first entry into that last week was Catchphrase, the game show, the inventive game show that ran about a half a year in syndication and then ran a whole decade or more on British television, also on Australian television. You can see excerpts of both the episodes of both the American and the British version, and the Australian version too, at youtube.com to see what I mean. Well, we have time to give you another one, and this one is a dramatic series from 1964-65 on CBS called Slattery's People. It remains the only scripted television series dealing with the world of state legislator. It was created by James Moser, one of the really milestone people in the world of TV producing. He was one of the key writers of Dragnet, radio and television with Jack Webb. He created the groundbreaking medical series Medic with Richard Boone in the 50s, created Ben Casey in the 60s, and this was his second show for Bing Crosby Productions, the Ben Casey people, hilarious people, starring Richard Crenna, wonderful actor of many, many roles, both comedy and later drama. And as I said, he plays the state legislature, and he gets into a lot of interesting cases, some of which involve everything from race relations to unique bills that want to get passed involving education reform, much, much more. Many of the episodes started with the title question and then blank. You can see some of the episodes on YouTube. They're very well. One of you, by the way, with the whole idea of what if you want to be a good Samaritan, and in the end, because of what you do, you may end up costing a life. That's a good, by the way, it's a good episode with a wonderful performance by Claude Akins in a supporting role. Slattery's People, check out some of the episodes on YouTube, and I'd love to see somebody take this series, which only ran a year and a half, and give it another chance at a great run. Slattery's People, I think you'll enjoy the series in black and white again. It's from CBS, 1964-65, and I think you'll like Richard Crenna's performance too. So, somebody, take a look at this show. Maybe we can give this show a chance in the years to come. I want to thank all of our guests for being here today and all of you for tuning in. Remember, our next episode is Friday, 3 p.m. Eastern, noon Pacific. Joining us will be the co-star of the BET series from Lena Waithe's 20s, Ashley Haynes, and we also hope to have one or two of the winning pilots that will be showcased very soon at the Norfolk TV Festival, happening live, not virtual, live and drive-in style from Long Island. And don't forget, a week from today, from ABC's revival of Supermarket Sweep starring Leslie Jones, Alicia Rossiter, and Wes Koppel, two of the key executive producers. If you came in late on today's program and you want to catch up an episode you missed, well, all you got to do is go to our homepage. It's blogtalkradio.com/televised. It's www.blogtalkradio.com/televised. Also, check out our podcasts. They're available on Amazon Music, the iHeartRadio Podcast Network, plus Apple TV, iTunes, Spreaker Podcast, and TuneIn Radio and TuneIn.com. Remember, we love hearing from you, so email me, simonapple04@yahoo.com. Love to hear your thoughts about today's episode, your thoughts about TV generally, current and future. Remember, that's also again involved with our Classic Trivia Question of the Week. And when it comes to this new feature we boot this, is there a TV show you like that only ran 6 months, 3 months, a year and a half at best, and that deserves a second shot? Well, let us know, and if we use your suggestion on the air, you get the credit. SimonApple04@yahoo.com. Also, find me on Facebook at Simon Applebaum and on Twitter at UBCSimonTWBT. However, if you get involved with us, we get involved with you. Why? Because, as always, what you say matters now more than ever. The views expressed here are those of the participants, not say those of Block Talk Radio and other services program. Our production associate, BTR, is Mandolin. Andy Toe is Block Talk Radio's general manager, with Jay Sonnenberg, head of content. The co-founder of this enterprise, Alan Levy and Bob Charish. The Bobby Televised is brought to you by Audible.com and Amazon Division. Remember, Audible transformed the way you hear the world. For one audiobook, plus health and wellness material and more, it's audibletrial.com/televised. And don't forget, if you're an Amazon Prime customer, make that two audiobooks for the trial of one. For Tomorrow We Televise, I'm Simon Applebaum in New York. Thank you for your listening. Have a fantastic rest of your week. We are back on Friday, 3 p.m. Eastern, New Pacific, you know where, Blog Talk Radio, Spreaker, TuneIn Radio, and the iHeartRadio Podcast Network, and Amazon Music. Whatever you're up to between now and the rest of the week, please make it safe, make it great, and let's fix this pandemic now and forever. Until next time, stay well and stay tuned.